Today's daf is daf, or tonight's daf is daf Gimel. We got to the two lines down on Gimel Amun Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Marav, Eid Zomim Mishalim Lefi Chelka. An Eid Zomim has to pay according to his chelik, whatever portion that he owns. So what does that mean? My Mishalim Lefi Chelka. What does that mean? He pays according to his chelik. Ilema, if it means the high Mishalim Palga, the high Mishalim Palga, if it means that the two Eidim who are now found to be Zomimim each have to pay half the damage or the money that they attempted to cause the other person to pay, Tanina, that's already a Mishnah. There's a klal that the Amoraim are not going to add anything else that the Mishnah already teaches us. The Mishnah tells us already, later on in Makos, Mishalshin b'mamon vein Mishalshin b'makos. If Edom Zomim attempt to, let's say, have a person pay $200 and they're found to be Zomimim, so then they split the cost, $100, $100 per eight. And let's say it's three Edom, so then they'll split $200 among three people equally. So that's already a Mishnah. So that can't be what Rav is coming to teach us. Ella could go in this zoom chad minayu. Maybe it's a case where only one of the Edom was caught to be Edom Zomim. They said, you were with us, you one Edom were with us in this place at that time. You couldn't have witnessed that. But the other Edom still stands strong. So if that's the case, so that's when we say that it's zom chad minayu de mishalim palgadide. So he pays his half, since he's the only one found to be Zomim. Umi mishalim, does such a person become Edom Zomim? If only one eid is found to be zomim, it's not an eid zomim yet, because we have a brayse that tells us v'atanya, ein eid zomim mishalim mamon ad shiyazumu shneim. The klal is, the Gemara will explain later on, that in order to have a din of eidim zomim, both eidim, or let's say there are more eidim, let's say there are three or four eidim, the entire kat of eidim all have to be accused of eidim zomim, and then it becomes a din of eidim zomim. If only one of the eidim are caught, it doesn't have the din of Eid Zomim. He wouldn't have to pay anything. Now, the Eid that's going to be thrown out, it's an Eid of Sheker now. We don't trust him anymore, but it does not have the din of Eid Zomim. So that can't be the case that Rav is referring to. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rav explains, Be'omer Eidus Sheker Haidasi. So he says, I testified, what I said was an Eid of Sheker. So what does this mean? So says Rashi, there's no Rashi here, okay. He says, I testified Eid of Sheker. So the Gemara says, wait a second, kol kimine? Can you do this? Now we're talking about the stage where the Eidus was already accepted in Bezdin. Bezdin listened to the Eidus, accepted it, and they said, Ruvay now owes Shimon money. So Shimon has money coming to him. Now, after that's been already filed away in Bezdin, one of the Eidim come out and say, you know what, I actually lied. I lied. So you can't do that. Once Bezdin accepts your word, you can't be chozer. The klal is, kol kamine, does he have the ability, does he have the strength to override, to undo his testimony at that stage? Kevin shehigid, once he gives his testimony, his agada, he tells his testimony, shuv eino chozer magid. You can't retract. Now if the aid said his aidus and it hadn't been filed away, it hasn't been stored yet in Bezdin, they didn't follow through with the process, so then he could back down. But once Bezdin makes a decision, and they paskin, Reuven owes Shimon money, it's too late to say that you're aid de sheker. So that can't be the case. Ella, what's the case? That again, we're trying to figure out when Rav says where Eid Zomim pays Mishalim Lefi Chelka, we're trying to figure out what the scenario is. So now we're saying, Ella Ba'omer Heidono Heidanu Behuzamu BeBezdin Ploni. We're saying the two Eidim were in one Bezdin, and they're caught as Eidim Zomim, and then they ran off to a new Bezdin before they are forced to pay anything. And they say, you know what, we are caught as Eidim Zomim in the previous Bezdin. Now, that Bezdin didn't say yet you owe money yet. They just said, you are cute, now we have Eidim, that you are Eidim Zomim. And they quickly ran off. They went to another Bezdin and said, we were found, we are caught to be Eidim Zomim in the other one. So that din, you have to pay your part. Even though they're admitting to being caught as Eidim Zomim, they have to pay what they tried getting the other guy to do. So Gemara says, who holds that way? Kiman. The low Rabbi Akiva, that can't be Rabbi Akiva, because E Rabbi Akiva, we learned yesterday, Ho Amar Af Einu Mishalim Al Pi Atzmo. There's a klal when an Eidim Zomim admits to his penalty, to his knas. Rabbi Akiva assumed that Eidim Zomim is a knas. So the klal is a mode that the knas is pater. The person admits before getting caught, he admits that he owes a penalty, a knas, he's pater. So Rabbi Akiva assumed that the punishment of Eidim Zomim is always a knas. So these Eidim are caught to be Eidim Zomim. And then they run to another Bezdin and say, oh, we're Eidim Zomim, Modib Kanas, Pater. So according to Rabbi Kiva, he would say Pater. So this statement can't be like Rabbi Kiva. And we want to try to say that he's working even within the world of Rabbi Kiva. So back to square one. What's the case where Rav says that we're Eid Zomim is Mishalim Lefi Chelko? So the Gemara concludes, it's a final statement, the final suggestion. Ella must be Baomer, hey Danu Vuzamnu Bebezdin Ploni. We testified, and we were also caught as Adam Zomimim in the first Bezdin, and Vichuvainu Mamamon. They're mechayev us to pay money. So now look at Rashi. Rashi says, Vichuvainu Mamon. You see that's around six narrow lines down in Rashi. Bebezdin. That previous Bezdin, not only were they caught to be Adam Zomimim, but they then gave a psak. You have to pay money now as Adam Zomimim. Now, key line, so that moment, Rabbi Kiva agrees that Adam Zomim is a penalty. But the moment Bezdin enforces you to pay, that transfers from a kanas into mamon. So now they have to pay mamon. Even Rabbi Kiva will say, a motive in mamon, chayv. That kanas transforms into mamon. So now that's the new case.
When is the
kanas? When is the kanas? At what stage? Before they actually get the psak din. Once you catch them as Adam Zomim, and before they give the final din you owe money, that stage it's a kanas. Or if they admit before Bezin catches them, they admit on their own, that'd also be a kanas. Now there's later on, in light of this question, there's a, this Rashi seems to go against Rabbi Kivager and Tosus later on. There's a shaila, in light of your question, when is a kanas generated? What creates a kanas? So according to some Rishonim, the moment the act was done, which in this case would be the Eidah Sheker was done, that generates this Knas. Now nobody knows about it yet, because they weren't caught. But there's this theoretical Knas that exists. According to Rabbi Kivager later on, I forget which daf this is, I don't think it's this daf, down to Rabbi Kivager on the side here. There's a Gilyan Shah Samra, we'll find them when we get there, maybe Yud or Yud Beis or something. He says, Knas is only created when Bezdin says you owe a Knas. They're the ones who generate that Knas. It's not the Maisa of Veir that generates the Knas. Their Eidus does not generate the Knas. It's when Bezdin gives a Psak that you owe money, that's what generates the Knas. So according to this, in light of your question, it sounds like the Knas exists, and when Bezdin says you owe money, that turns the Knas into Mammon. In which case, even Rabbi Kiva will agree that if a person's mode the Mammon, he still is Chayef. So that's what we're going on here. Let's read the Gemara one more time. Ela ba'omer hey danu. The people say we gave a testimony in the other Bezdin. Vuzamnu bebezdin. We were also caught as a zomimim in that Bezdin ploni. Vichuvanu mamon, and they made us pay money. So sa'kadaita chamina. So of course they have to pay. So what's the chiddush of Rav saying above that a zomim has to mishalim lefi chelko? Of course he has to pay his part. So sa'kadaita chamina. There's a half a minute to say maybe they should be potter. Why? Since he's not believed, what's going on here? If I go, I'm the Eid Zomim, and I say I owe money in the other Bezdin. I'm believed about myself, but I'm not believed about my counterpart. I'm not believed about my other aid who came with me. He has to admit on his own. I'm now one aid. Bezdin sees his new case. They have no idea what took place in Bezdin across the country. And I come, I say, I was caught in the other Bezdin. They made me pay $100. I want to pay it to you guys now. So I'm able to admit on my own, they'll take my money. But for me to now say to my other aide, my friend, I can't say he also owes money, because in the world of this Bezdin, they don't know what went on there. I'm an Eid Echad. They can't trust me as an Eid Echad. So the Havamina is, since I can't be Mechayev the Eid Echad money, maybe I myself shouldn't be Chayev money either. Kamash Mlan, despite the fact they don't trust me regarding him, I am trusted with regards to myself. Kamash Mlan, I am Chayev to pay my Chalik, even though he's not paying his Chalik. Now this requires a lot more understanding here about why that Havamina would be. Of course, what's the Chiddush here? Anyone who's modet to Bezdin that he owes money, Bezdin will accept it. Who cares the fact that I'm not believed against my other guy? I myself, I'm always believed to say that I owe money. So there seems to be some underlying concept here of an Eid Zomim being a group. There's a circle you draw around the two of them. They always go hand in hand. So if that guy's Pater, maybe I should be Pater also, since there's a certain kat, this certain connection between the two Eidim Zomim. Kamash Milan, in this unique case, I'm viewed as an independent party, and I'm Chayiv, even though the counterpart is going to be Pater.
So why did you say Eidim are the most awesome in Russia? When did that come into play?
Great point. I think the answer would be, he's saying that he owes, let's see.
Rashi.
That's a good Rashi. Where's his Rashi? Says Rashi, I skipped that last line. Says Rashi in the end of that piece, Ve'ein zem arshiyat atmo shekvar hishu elokim, referring to Elohim, really, the Bezdin, that Bezdin already made him a Rasha. So he's not creating himself. Based on what Bezdin declared on him, he's just telling them what happened. He's reporting back. Okay. The Mishnah tells us now, the new Mishnah, Misha says, Me'idim anu es'ish ploni shegirish es'ishto. We're testifying that a certain person divorced his wife. And Reuven did not pay his wife the ksuba. Let's say he owes her $200. He didn't pay her the ksuba. Hello, bein hayom. So it turns out they're Edom zomim. So now the two Edom have to pay the $200 they tried making the husband pay. The husband said, I already paid the money. So says the Mishnah further, Hello, bein hayom, bein lamachar, sofu liten la ksubasa. What loss did they give him? In the end of the day, the husband's going to have to pay the $200 to the wife anyways, in the three scenarios that could happen. If he divorces his wife, he owes the $200. If the husband dies, then the estate has to pay the $200. If the wife dies, then he doesn't have to pay. But there's a very likely circumstance, two out of three options, that he will, or at least the estate, will have to pay that $200. So he didn't really cause him a loss. He's just paying earlier than he had to pay otherwise. So it's not a full $200. So the Gemara explains, so how do you pay? What do you make the Edom Zomim pay? You can't make him pay the full $200 because he may have had to pay that anyways down the line in a few years from now. So the Mishnah explains, Omdim kama adam rotza litein b'ksuvas l'shozeh. You have to assess how much a person's willing to invest in someone else's ksuba. What does that mean? So a person has a ksuba, so you want to invest, like it's like a life insurance plan. What is the likelihood that this guy's going to die at a certain age and I'll collect on that life insurance? So what's the likelihood that this guy's going to divorce his wife or die earlier? So his wife will collect the $200. So that's the investment. I'll pay, you know, you pay the wife, I'll pay you $50. And in the circumstance that you're supposed to collect the ksuba, I'll take that ksuba from you. I'll take the $200. So that's the investment. How much is a person willing to pay for that return? That's the evaluation of the Mishnah.
In practice, can you do something like that?
What?
In practice, can you sell your rights to the money from the ksuba?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I imagine you could, but I don't know. Based on the Mishnah, it sounds like you would be allowed to. Lalach, I don't know though. Maybe you had a question? No? Okay. So again, the Mishnah says, again, Omdin kamen adam rota lite m'ksuvasa shazu. How much is a person willing to invest in this person, in this ksuba, shim nis almana o niskarsha, if the woman dies early, or she gets divorced, that he'll collect the ksuba instead of her collecting it. Vimesa, but if she dies, then Yeshena Baila, he won't collect any money. He'll have a loss. He paid $50, but it's not collecting the ksuba because the husband doesn't owe anything if the wife dies first. So that's how you force the Eid Zomim to pay, how much he pays, whatever that assessment is, however they evaluate that. So the Gemara says, now, Keita Shaman, how do you evaluate how much money he owes? Amar Rav Chista Bibal, Rav Nasan Bar Oshia Amar Beisha. I mean, whose perspective? So I'm not talking statistically, but at least from the husband's perspective, there is one of three chances, one third chance, let's assume that equal options for now, 33% that the husband's going to keep the money. Because if the wife dies, it's one of the options, so he gets to keep the money. But there are two options that if he dies first, or if he divorces her, then she gets the ksuba. So you're doing the one third from the Baal's perspective of keeping the money, or you're doing the two thirds from the wife's perspective of her getting the money. So that's the machlokis. Rav Chista says you do from the husband's perspective, the one third. So one third of $200, I'm just being simple now. Or you do it from the wife's perspective, two-thirds of $200 is what he has to pay. So Amar Rav Papa says, Be'isha, he also says it goes based on the woman's perspective, two-thirds chance of her collecting the ksuba, ubiksuvasa. What's he adding by uksuvasa? If you look at Rashi, let's say seven lines up from the bottom, ubiksuvasa, last two words on the line there, the last medium-wide line if you want also. Ubiksuvasa lo yishamulo ela ha'odef biksuvasa al hadamim halalu. You only pay the surplus to the ksuba on the value of the ksuba itself, but not the nichse melug, her nichse melug, because what's the halacha? That she has a nichse melug, she brings in a certain property with her, called nichse melug, and the husband allowed to eat on those fruits while they're married. So this Eid Zomim, the Eidim Zomim, caused him potentially to lose those rights to eat all those fruits for those years, so you're saying that they're divorced. So that's a lot more loss for the husband that he was causing to her. We don't take into account that loss either. Because Rashi goes on to explain that the Edom could say, we only were testifying about the ksub itself, we weren't testifying anything about the nichse melug. They could separate how their testimony works. Again, a little bit complicated. Either way, we only evaluate the ksuba alone, not the effect it would have had on the nichse melug. New Mishnah says now, Me'idim anu b'ish ploni, Shuchayv l'chavero, elef zuz. Edom testified that a person owes $1,000. Almanas litnon lo mikan vad shloshim yom, that he owes $1,000 in the next 30 days. Small time frame to pay that money. But who Amar, the guy who's being testified against, mikan vad eseshan, I agree I owe $1,000, but I have 10 years to pay, not 30 days, a lot more time to come up with that money. So he didn't cause him a loss. Either way, he owes $1,000. He just shortened the time he has to pay. So how much, now the aid is caught as Edom Zomim. So what do they owe? How much money do they owe? So Omdin Kama Adam wrote to Litain, they have to assess how much a person's willing to pay. How much money is a person willing to pay to have an extra 10 years in paying back his debt? So he borrowed $1,000. He has to pay it in 30 days. But he's willing to pay, let's say, $200 to give him another 10 years to pay that back. Whatever the amount that is, that's the loss that the Edom Zomim had attempted to give this guy. Yeah, hear that? Good? Clear? Fine. Gemara says now, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Hamalve es chavero le'esashanim. If a person lends money for 10 years, Shvis misham taso. So of course, during the 10-year span, Shemitah is going to come at least once, if not twice. So Shemitah is going to come, and we have what's called Shemitah's Ksafim. And Shemitah's Ksafim cancels out all loans. So if I lend money for 10 years, so I'm going to lose that money. He doesn't have to pay back the loan. The loan's canceled once Shemitah hits. V'yafa gav dehashtelo karinam be loyigos. Even though right now it's not called loyigos, what's loyigos? Pasuk says, Parshish Re'eh, it says that when Shemitah comes, so I'll read the pasuk on the side here. It says, "V'zed davar shmita shamot kobal nashe yado." It's going to cancel out all loans, all banks can't collect. Asher yasha bireu, that's trying to collect from a person from the loveh. Lo yigo says reu, you're not allowed to press against your friend to collect the money. So the assumption here is that shmita's ksafim is only relevant when there's a potential to press, when you're owed money. So for example, let's say I lend money to someone and he doesn't pay back when he's supposed to. So I'm trying to get the money from him. I'm pressing him to pay the money because he owes money ready to me now. The loan's due. And then 2 years later, Shmitas Ksafim comes. That's when it cancels it out. When there's a possibility of low egos where I could pressure him to pay me and I'm not allowed to once Shmita comes. But if something has a 10-year period to pay back, I can't press him to pay me after 3 years. He's got another 7 years to pay me back. So there's no issue of a Hagasa. There's no pressuring going on there. So there's no violation of low egos either. It's not even a theory for me to press him for the money. So maybe you would think that there shouldn't be Shemitah's Ksafim if Lo Yigos is not relevant, because I have another 7 years, he has another 7 years to pay me back. So the Gemara says, even though Afagab, top line of Gimel Beis now, Afagab, the Hashilo Karina Be Lo Yigos, even though right now it's not possible for Lo Yigos, because I can't pressure him, because he has another 7 years on his loan, so for also Lide Lo Yigos, since ultimately in another few years from now, it will come to the point of Lo Yigos. So then right now, we allow Shemitah's Ksafim to take effect. It doesn't have to be L'maisa. Lo Yigos has to be in theory, potentially, to come about. So once that potential is there for Lo Yigos, we can allow Shemitah's Ksafim to kick in right now. So Shemitah's Ksafim does cancel out a 10-year loan, according to this first Ma'an Namah. According to this, it doesn't exist. There's always, Shemitah's Ksafim will affect any loan. No, because the chiddush is, you would think from the pasuk, maybe Shemitah's Ksafim shouldn't affect this, because Lo Yigos doesn't happen right now during Shemitah. The chiddush is, no, because there's a good Havamina. No,
why say Lo Yigos?
Wait, the Torah?
Yeah.
How does that mind not learn the pasuk?
Yeah. Oh, no, because no, there's a lav. There's a lav there as well.
Don't press.
Yeah. Okay. Says the Gemara now, two lines down, Masiv Rav Kana. Rav Kana asks, Omdim kama adam wrote to Litain, quoting our Mishnah. You assess how much a person's willing to give Litain, vihu elef zuz biyado, bein litain mikan vad shloshim yom, bein litain mikan vad eseshanim. How much is a person willing to take $1,000 loan in the 1 to $30 day period versus a 10-year period? How much money a person's willing to pay for that? So now the Gemara asks on this, vi amris, if we say shvius misham taso, kulanami bar yishlumele. If we say that Shemitah will cancel out a 10-year loan, the Edom Zomim should have to pay the full amount. Why? So they're saying the guy really owes 10 years, which means if he waits it out, he will have to actually pay zero money. Even though he borrowed $1,000, when Shemitah comes, it's completely canceled. Now he's making him pay within that next 30 days. He actually has to pay $1,000. So forget the assessment. He's going from having to pay zero to paying a full amount of $1,000. So the fact that the Gemara doesn't end, the Mishnah doesn't entertain that, seems to tell us that Shemitas Ksafim does not cancel out a 10-year loan. And he would have to pay $1,000 even after Shemitas Ksafim is over. That's what it sounds like from this Mishnah. And the Gemara says, no, not true. Really, Shemitah does cancel out a 10-year loan. Our Mishnah is talking about a different case where you're able to circumvent Shemitah, which is what we do nowadays. Amar Rava, Hacha B'mai Askinan, what are we dealing with in the Mishnah where they're circumventing the Shemitah of a 10-year loan? B'milva al-hamashkon. We're talking about a situation, B'malva al-hamashkon, where you're borrowing on a mashkon, where there's a collateral. So once there's a collateral, whatever, without getting involved how that works exactly, that's able to circumvent Shemitah. It protects itself from Shemitah. Shemitah does not cancel it out. Or, uvimosa sharos of the Bezdin, or you hand your documents into Bezdin, that also protects your loans from being affected by Shemitah Ksafim. The Tanan and the Mishnah tells us in the Masechah Shviyas, the last paragraph of Shviyas talks about Shemitah Ksafim, hamalva al hamashkon vamosa sharos of the Bezdin, ein mashmitin. Shemitah does not affect a handed-in sharos to the Bezdin or a loan with a collateral. Okay, that's all the first man damar. Ikadamri, there is another version of this discussion about the 10-year loan. Amr of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, de hamalves chaveru l'esheshanim. A person lends money for over the course of 10 years. Ein shvius misham taso. Here we say Shemitah does not cancel out the 10-year loan. Afagav de asili de li loigos, even though eventually it will amount to an iser loigos, hashtemilo karina be loigos. But during the Shemitah's ksafim year, where he hasn't reached the final term yet of the loan, there's no loigos. So again, the opposite case here. Same case, but different svara. I lend money for 10 years. And now in the fourth year, Shemitah's ksafim comes. So I can't press him for the money. He has another 6 years left on the loan. So since there's no loigos right now, based on the pasuk, we can't apply Shemitah's ksafim either. So a 10-year loan is actually protected from Shemitah's ksafim, according to this man damar.
Wouldn't that happen all the time that Shemitah would wipe out the loan?
Any loan that the term will be after Shemitah, then it's protected. But let's say you owe the money before Shemitah comes in. You haven't paid. It's been years since you paid me the money back. I could press you all I want. And then Shemitah comes. Shemitah will cancel out all outstanding loans. It will cancel out. But a loan that has not been outstanding, where I don't owe the money yet, that will not be affected. Exactly, that stays on. But the following Shemitah will affect it, though. The next Shemitah, after the 10 years come, the next Shemitah will cancel it out.
Where do we see that in the Pasuk?
Which part?
That if you have a loan whose term extends beyond Shemitah, that Shemitah doesn't cancel it out.
Because the fact that the Pasuk says lo yigos, it's not shy to have lo yigos to a person who has 6 years left on the loan.
Maybe it's not shy to make a loan whose term extends beyond Shemitah.
Why not?
Because the Pasuk is going to cancel it out.
There's no Pasuk. The Pasuk says lo yigos. You can't pressure the guy to pay. And then Shemitah Ksafim knocks out the loans. You can only discuss lo yigos if it's actually shayach to press the guy. But they don't mention the pasuk that you can't have long-term loans anywhere.
Maybe it's far.
It doesn't exist, I don't think. Fine. Mara says, now, so based on that ikadamri, Amar Rav Kana, af ananami tanina, our mission is very consistent with this ikadamri, that a 10-year loan will not be canceled out by Shemitah Ksafim. The Mishnah says, our Mishnah, Om Din Kama Adam wrote to Litain Vaye Alef El Zuz Biyado. How much person is willing to have $1,000? Bain Litain Mikan Vad Shloshim Yom, Bain Litain Mikan Vad Esheshanim. Again, that fee he's willing to pay for a 10-year extension. Vi Amris Shviyish Misham Taso, if you say that Shemitah cancels out a 10-year loan, Kulanami Bari Shlumele. So then the Adam Zomim, like we said before, should have to pay the full amount. Because when he had the 10-year loan, he would actually owe nothing after Shemitah was coming in. Now he's making him pay him 30 days, he has to pay something. The fact that we don't say that tells us that 10-year loans are not affected by Shemitah's Ksafim. Gemara says he can't bring a rye from our Mishnah. It's very possible that our Mishnah is talking about a certain case of Hacha B'mai Askinan, B'malva al-Mashkon of Moses Sharos of Lebezdin, D'Tnan Hamalva al-Mashkon of Moses Sharos of Lebezdin, and Mashpitin. Okay. Gemara now says halfway down the Amud here, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Haomer El Chavero. Person says to his Chaver, Amanash Lo Tishmeteni Shvius Shvius Misham Metes. I say to a guy, I'm going to lend you money, but on condition that Shemitah is not going to affect our loan. I can collect whenever I want, even after Shemitah. Halacha is the Shemitah is going to Mishametas anyways. You have no control of how Shemitah works. Gemara in Bava Metzia says Shemitah is Afkasa Demalka, really referring to Shemitah's Karka, but it's an Exeris Akasa, it just happens. The Karka is just Hefker. So Shemitah's Ksafim is just Hefker of all loaned. You have no choice. You cannot uproot a Din Deraisa. Lema Kesavar Shmuel, perhaps we could suggest that Shmuel holds Masna Mashkasa B'Torahu. It's a making a condition on a Torah din, masna amashikasubatara to no bato. A person who attempts to do an action with a condition that goes against the Torah, that condition is cancelled, but the actual maisa still works. So I tried lend money, but I built in a condition that went against the Torah. That condition falls away, I can't undo Shemitah, but the loan still exists. The loan still went through. But just it's protected, rather it's not protected from Shemitah. Shemitah will cancel it out. So Gemara says, is that really true though? But ha'itmar, doesn't it, don't we have a statement? Ha'omer l'chaveiro, amanash ein l'cha alai ona. I say to a friend, let's make a deal here. I'm going to sell you something. I'm going to overprice it. But let's make a condition that you can't get me an ona. You can't get me an ona as an isser of overpricing by 1/6 or more. You can't get me on that. And Rav Amar yeshlo alav ona. It doesn't make a difference. If you try to do that, you can undo ona. If it's overpriced, the sale's not good. It's a mekach tos. But Shmuel, and Shmuel is what we need here, Omer ein lo alavana, I'm allowed to. So above we said that Shmuel says you cannot be masna amashikasa b'torah. I cannot knock out Shemitah. But here he says I can knock out ona. There's a stira. Can you be oker a din deraisa or can you not be oker a din deraisa? Again, by Shemitah he says I tried to get rid of Shemitah, but I'm not allowed to. But in this case he says I am allowed to get rid of ona. That's the stira. How do we deal with this? So Gemara says, "Ha itmar la." It was said on this, "Amar Rav Anan li didi mefar shalei." It was explained to me once. Mine, the Shmuel amnash she'ein l'cha layona ein lo alav Allah. Amnash she'ein bo ona hare yesh bo ona. There's a difference. If I'm saying ein l'cha, that you and I on an individual scale, there's no ona between us. That works. But if I say ein bo ona, if I say there doesn't exist a concept of ona. That I can't do. So that's where it doesn't work. So in the case of Shemitah, Hachanami, says the Gemara, Amnash lo tishmetani shriyas, ein shriyas mishamtaso. If I say that you can't have Shemitah on me, so that's going to work. But if I say more globally, Amnash shelo tishmetenu shriyas, that shriyas as a global rule will not work on anything that I can't do. I know right to say shriyas doesn't work. Then shriyas mishamtaso. So again, on an individual basis, I can make any tanai that I want. But I can't say that Shemitah doesn't work. I can't say that Ona doesn't exist. That's the difference between the two statements of Shmuel. Okay, Gemara quotes another Bryson now. Tana hamalves chaveru stam einu rashai l'tovo pachas mishloshim yom. A guy lends money to someone, doesn't specify how long the term is, so the stam loan, we assume, is at least 30 days. 30 days is when you're allowed to collect the money. So, Savar Rabba bar Chana, kamed Rav, initially Rabba wanted to suggest in front of Rav, Lemaimar to say, Hani Mile Bemilva Bishar Delo Avid Inish the Tarach the Kos of Shtar Batsir Mitlasan Yom. This klal of a Stam Malve Milve being 30 days is only when they write a document. Who's going to waste the time and write a document if the loan's going to be over in the next day? It's not worth the effort. Here's $10 and pay me back tomorrow. So the fact that we went through the effort of writing a document in a shtar must be it's at least 30 days. Aval, but he wanted to suggest Milval Peh, if it was just without writing a document, we had just an oral agreement here, a verbal agreement, so lo, it wouldn't work. Meaning, we don't have the concept of a Stam Milval Peh being 30 days. We don't know what the answer would be. It might be one day, it might be a week. It doesn't tell us what it would be. But a Stam Milval Peh would not be a 30-day term, necessarily. That's what he initially wanted to say. So in response, Amrli Rav, Rav says back to him, Hochi Omar Chavivi. Chavivi says, Echad ha milva b'shtar, echad ha milva alper, both of them have the same halacha. That's a stam milva, whether it's b'shtar, whether it's b'per, is going to be 30 days. Tani nami hochi, the Brisa says the same thing. Hamal ves chaveru stam, a person lends money without specifying a term. Einu rashai l'tovo pachas mishloshim yom. You cannot claim within 30 days. Echad ha milva b'shtar, echad ha milva b'per, regardless of how the loan went through. Amalei Shmuel Rav Masna now. Lo tesev achracha, Don't sit down on your knees or sit down at all. How do you know this? Shmuel wants to know, Rav Masna, what's the source that a stam milveh is 30 days? Damar Rabbanan Hamalves Chavir Stam Einu Rashai Lutovo Pachas Mishal Shem Yom. Echad Milva Bishar Echad Milva Ape. How do you know this rule that Stam Milva is going to be at least no less than 30 days? Amar Lei, so the response back is, Dechsiv the Pasuk says, it says here, Karva Shnasa Sheva Shnasa Shmita, and the seventh year, which is also Shmita, is approaching. So ask the Mara, Mimashma Shinemar Karva Shnasa Sheva. From the fact the Pasuk tells me that the seventh year is approaching, En yodea shishna shmita. I know shmita is the seventh year. It's superfluous. Ella ma tama lomer shnasa shmita. So why does it repeat shnasa shmita? Lomer lecha to teach you yesh shmita acheres. There's another shmita out there. She kuzu. The one shmita that we know of is every seventh year shmita. But there's another type of shmita which works similar to this, which is what ezezu. What's this other shmita that we're talking about? This phantom shmita. Hamal v'schaver stam. Sheinu rashai l'tovo b'pachas mishloshim yom, damar shloshim yom b'shana chashiv shana. When a person lends money without specifying terms, we assume that there's another shmita, that is a 30-day break a person has, a 30-day term. That's based on this idea here. That's the other shmita that they're referring to. This, again, stam milva, because we have this concept that a 30 days is considered a year based on certain psuk in the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah. So since 30 days is considered like a year, so when we say Shnasa Shmita, a year of Shmita is referring to really 30 days of Shmita. Okay, let's do two more lines here, then we're going to take a break here. Gemara says now, Amar Rav Yehuda, we're making other statements in the name of Rav Yehuda, who is quoting a series of statements from Rav. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, HaPoseach Beisat Tzavar B'Shabbos Chayv Chatas. Person who opens up, we take for granted the shirts come open, but their shirts weren't open. You have to make a little hole for the neck to come through the shirts. So a person who does that, opens that up on Shabbos, it's chayiv. What's malacha is a person chayiv for doing that? Mach bepatish, right. Mach bepatish, you're completing the act. So Gemara asks, Maskula Rav Kana, v'chima bein lemugufas chavis. So why is it any different than opening up a cover from a chavis? Let's look at Rashi. Rashi says, v'chima bein zeh lemugufas chavis, damrina beperk chavis shenishbura, if I have a jar, a barrel of wine, let's say, take a sword and knife and cut off the top to access the liquid inside. Why is that permitted? Both cases are making a hole in the shirt, making a hole in a barrel. So why is the barrel permitted, but the shirt is not permitted? So answers the Gemara, Amar Lei, Zeh Chibur V'Zeh Nichibur. One's connected, one's not connected. Let's look at Rashi for this one. Rashi says around 15 lines up, Zed Beisat Tzavar Hayachibur, the neck, the shirt, was connected to each other. Hilkach Pesach Tikun Chadashu, it's a new opening. Aval Hamagufa Avapishu Tocha Al Piachavis, even though they took the cover, the barrel was one, or the jug was one part, and they put a tight cover on top of it. The hole existed initially. I just put a tight cover, I sealed the cover. So in that case, so we say here, Aval Hamagufa Avapishu Tocha Al Piachavis, even though it was sealed batit, with cement all around it, it's very tightly closed. Ain't a chibur, it's not a real chibur. Havle kipsucha vomed, this is already open. It's no different than a bottle cap. You have a soda cap, soda bottle, there's a hole that exists. We just cover up with a soda cap now, but the top plastic cap. So if I turn it open, I'm not creating a new hole. The hole always existed. That's why you're allowed to open up soda bottles on Shabbos for this very reason. Some say you can't do that, but pashtus is you're allowed to because you're not creating a new hole. Now, the issue of soda caps might be the cap now is a new utensil, but regarding the hole that exists, always existed, and it never was undone. As opposed to the shirt that never had a hole in the first place, you're creating a new hole that never existed. Okay, we'll stop here. This next piece gets into, if it wasn't already complicated, gets into more complicated in Yanim regarding mikvos. Okay.